Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. It's a joy to welcome you again on another Sunday. As Evelyn says in the comments, it's a beautiful morning. The sun's shining. Yes, it's still looking cold, but we're not too bad for the weather up here. It looks absolutely glorious. So welcome this fine morning. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship here online. My name's Pastor Vic. So glad to welcome you onto our online fellowship. We're still online here in Scotland. Still not able to come together, as it were, in church. But we can assemble here. We can gather here. We can come round His Word. We can take communion together. You know, we can still fellowship as a church. And you know, it's not the building that's important. It's the people. That's what church means, the ecclesia. So welcome, Ecclesia, this morning. Glad to see quite a few of you starting to join, getting some comments. Good morning, everyone. It's really good to see you. Thanks for joining. We're going to have our, I was going to say normal, normal service at the moment here online. We're really hoping and praying that we can come together real soon in the flesh. But until then, you know, we'll carry on. There's no need to stop church. We can carry on, keep meeting online like this. So welcome. Turn with me in the Word, Psalm 117. I'm going to read the whole psalm. For those of you who know your Word will know that's only two verses. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Very, very small, short psalm, but it really says it all, doesn't it? We are to praise Him, all of us, all the world, all nations, all peoples. We should be praising the Lord. Why? Because He's merciful, He's full of kindness, He has great things for us, done good things for us, wants the best for us. And that is the truth. And it endures forever. So for that reason, we should be praising Him. And that's what we're going to do right here this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You that You are full of mercy. I thank You that You are full of kindness. I thank You that You are full of truth. And I thank You that that mercy, that kindness, that truth will endureth forever. Thank You, Father, that we have entered into eternal life with You, and that that eternal life will endureth forever. You are such a good, good God, such a good, good Father. I thank You that You want the best for us. I thank You that You have provided the best for us through Jesus Christ. I thank You that You love us. You want us to prosper. You want us to be in health. You want us to have joy and peace and thankfulness. So we thank You for Your goodness towards us this morning. In His name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, a few more joining. Welcome. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your comments. If you're watching live, please comment. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can type in your comments and I can see them. So that's great. So welcome, if I haven't said welcome to you already. Let's get into the Word, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truths held within this Bible. Thank You, yes, that it's written by men, but thank You that it is breathed of You, Father. It is literally from Your mouth. Thank You for all the truths that we see within it, that we read within it. Thank You that it describes itself as an incorruptible seed. Thank You that it tells us what it was designed to do, designed to produce fruit from the ground of our heart. And that is what we all so want in our lives. So thank You for these seeds we're about to plant. I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus for people listening. Speak out that what I say will be understood, that it will be from You, Father. Understood by my brothers and sisters. Understood so that it will not be stolen away, that it will germinate, that it will grow and produce fruit. In His name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was planning, as often happens, planning during the week for one message, and then come Thursday night, Friday, I think the Lord told me he had other ideas. So I was planning to move on to another topic this week. I'd actually started preparing to go back and continue with my study in Colossians that I thought I'd done last year. But I looked back and it was the end of 2019, the last time I did a message in Colossians. And I think I'd only got as far as Colossians 1:23, so there's a lot more to go. So I was planning to work my way through Colossians a bit like the way I did through Galatians and the way I did through Ephesians. And if you haven't heard them, get in touch and I'll send them to you. So I was planning to dive back into going through verse by verse study of Galatians. But then we had a Bible study on Thursday and somebody mentioned a passage in Scripture. And while they were speaking, it just came alive in my heart. And I looked at it and I read it and we were talking about it and reading. And I just got so excited because it fitted right in with the current series that I'm doing. So I think I've been led to preach on that this morning. And who knows, I may go on to Colossians next week. I'm really not sure. I might carry on with this. We'll see. So I have been teaching on what it means to be a whosoever. Looking at that word, looking that it means all, it means everybody, it means you, if you're born again. And I'm trying to persuade you that you are one, that you are a whosoever. And I've been trying to show you what you get as a whosoever, what you've been made as a whosoever. We looked at salvation. You know, if you were saved, if you were in salvation, you were a whosoever. And what did you get? What were you made because of that? What does that word salvation, what does that word saved, sozo, what does that word mean? And we looked at our relationship with God under the new covenant and that being so much better than it was under the old covenant. You see, God wants good for us, wants the best for us, and he has provided for that best through Jesus Christ, through his finished work. And we need to realise that, we need to understand it, we need to believe it, think it, start speaking it out, and start living it, living the way we're supposed to. Amen? And this passage I'm going to talk about today talks about you as a whosoever, and tells us, because I'm a whosoever as well, I'm pointing at you, but it tells us the way we should be living. So let's go there. Turn with me to 3 John. Right near the back. 3rd Epistle of John, I'm going to read from verse 1. And I'm going to read through to verse 4. So John, 3 John 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What a fantastic, fantastic piece of scripture. And 3 John 2 is a verse that I use an awful lot. When I'm preaching, when I'm teaching, I use that verse continually. But I noticed something quite enlightening, something a little bit different for me on Thursday night as that passage was being read. Now, if you've been on this online at all, if you come to Murray Grace Fellowship, you'll have heard me quoting this verse, one of my favourites, showing you that we are meant to live in health and meant to live in abundance. And that is how a believer is meant to live. It tells us that this is what God wants for us. This is what God wants for you. Above all things, he wants you to prosper and be in health. And I use this verse along with John 10:10. It talks about abundance, about Jesus came to bring us life and more abundantly. I use it along with 1 Peter 2:24, showing that Jesus purchased healing and purchased health for us at the cross. I use it along with 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9, showing that Jesus provides abundance and prosperity for us. And I continually teach healing and health and prosperity and abundance as I believe them to be biblical principles and biblical truths for the believer. Yet I see the church, the sort of main body of the church and individual believers coming against these truths continually. I met a wonderful pastor a couple of years back who had to take a vow of poverty in order to become a pastor in his denomination. I've spoken to believers many, many times who thinks that God uses illness and sickness in some way to improve people. I made the mistake last night. I keep telling you, don't Google things. Don't look up the internet. Don't go on Wikipedia. I thought, I'll just have a quick look. So I made that mistake last night and Googled 3 John 2. What does it mean? And I looked at the first 4 or 5 entries. And not one spoke of health and prosperity for all believers. You know, it spoke of being just for Gaius, who was an old man. And John was another old man, just saying, you know, old man, I just hope you're well and I hope you're fine. I hope things are going okay for you. Spoke of it being just for Gaius. One that even wrote about prosperity teachers and healing teachers who are twisting and perverting this passage to say God wanted us to be in health and prosperity. Even though that's what the verse says. Now, I love this verse. I love 3 John verse 2. I hold by what it teaches and what I teach on this. But on Thursday night, I had this kind of deeper revelation about the passage, not just 3 John 2, about the context that it was in. New deeper revelation for me. And the wonderful thing that I saw, I'm just going to tell you straight out, I just saw that this verse is surrounded by the word truth. It is written in the context of truth. And that for me was a wonderful picture of just how true that verse is and how it's for us. 3 John 1, it starts with an introduction. It says, the elder, that's John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Yes, the introduction's written to Gaius. Says John loves him in the truth. This is a believer writing to a believer. And it tells me about the truth. That's talking about faith in Jesus. That's talking about the word. That's talking about the gospel. That's talking about being a fellow believer. That if you're a fellow believer, you're in the truth. That's what that says to me. And then we get 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Starts with the word beloved. And I think that is vital. You see, some people teach, indeed, I was talking to Nunzi about that this morning while we were having breakfast, in Nunzi's Bible, in her notes, it kind of says, this verse is not for you, this verse is just for Gaius. Don't expect to live in health. Don't expect to live in prosperity. That's not for you. That's just for Gaius. And some people teach that. John wrote it to Gaius. So it is not for you. It is just for him. Abundance and prosperity is not for you. It's just for Gaius. And I've heard that taught. Yet these same preachers and teachers that teach that will take verses from 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and tell us why some of us can be pastors and some can't, depending on your character, your gender, even though that was written to Timothy. Well, they say that's written for you. I mean, did Paul write to Timothy to tell him he was the only person that didn't have a spirit of fear? that he had a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. But yeah, we get taught that. There's not many people, not many teachers that won't teach that, even though it was just written for Timothy. Same teachers will take parts out of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and say, this is for you. Even though it's not written for you, it was written for people in Corinth. No, that's not good teaching. That's not consistent. The epistles, yes, they were written to individuals. The epistles were written to churches. But also, I believe, out of time, they were written to the church and they were written to you. What Paul wrote to Timothy, what Paul wrote to Titus, what John wrote to Gaius, I believe he wrote to us. What Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he also wrote to the church in Scotland, to the church at MGF, to the church wherever you are, to the church. Believers as a whole. Now, I do believe that there are certain parts of the word that I think are not written to us, not written to believers. There are certain parts that I believe that are written to unbelievers. There are parts that are written to the Jewish church. There are parts that are written to the Gentile church. You see what I mean? But they can be explained biblically, that they're for them and not for us, or for us and not for them. But in this instance, I can't see anything to do with that with regards to John writing to Gaius, or Paul writing to Timothy, or Paul writing to Titus. It is written to us. Out of time, it was written to us. The elder unto the well-beloved Vic, whom I love in the truth. The elder, I'm looking at names here, the elder unto the well-beloved Michelle, whom I love in the truth. The elder unto the beloved Eveline, whom I love in the truth. Written to us. Hallelujah. This is talking to the beloved, the church. That's what it says in there. Verse 2 starts with the beloved. We're in the church. We are part of the beloved. So it's written to us. Beloved, church, believers today, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Wow, what a scripture. But Vic, surely that's talking to us in spiritual terms. No, I don't think so. The Greek word for prosper is euodoo. Means to help on the road, that is succeed in reaching. Figuratively, to succeed in business affairs, to have a prosperous journey. How do you succeed in business affairs? I'll tell you, I'm a businessman. To succeed in business affairs, you make a profit. That's P-R-O-F-I-T. That type of profit. You make money, you are prosperous. That is how you succeed in business. To have a prosperous journey. That's talking about doing well, being prosperous in your life, on the road you are walking upon. That's what that's talking about. Your life, the road you are walking in, is meant to be prosperous. And the word for health, bear with me, is hugiaino, I think. Hugiaino. Be well in body. Yes, it's also used figuratively to be uncorrupt or true in doctrine. But the main reason, meaning is to be in health, safe and sound, whole. Not sick, not in pain, not in disease, physically. We know sickness and poverty are works of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. A life of pain, a life of poverty is not what the Lord wants for us. And not what he has provided for us. Above all things. I mean, just look at it in the English. Above all things. I'm not even going to talk about that. Well, I'll try not to. But above having a worldwide ministry, above running a church, above anything, what does he want for you? Above your works, above your tithes, above your prayers, what does he want for you? He wants you to prosper and be in health. That is what the word says. Amen. And that is for you as a whosoever, as a beloved. One of the beloved, you're a whosoever. That verse is for you. Take it. Take that verse. Believe in it. It's for you. We see Jesus healing people physically, don't we, in the Gospels? You cannot get away from that in Scripture. Was it Peter's mother-in-law, which kind of is used to highlight the Isaiah verses? She was sick physically. She was healed physically. She got up off her sick bed physically and started working. And we are told to do the works that he did. That is to heal physically. Physical healing is for us today. It's for us. And I honestly believe that Jesus was rich and not poor. He had to be to travel around with a huge entourage to feed and clothe and house all those people. How did he do that without being prosperous? Jesus was not sick. Jesus was not poor. We should be neither of those either. That's what God wants for us, above all else, not to be sick, not to be poor. So that's all the things I've taught before. If you've been coming to MGF for any period of time, you'll have heard that lots and lots. But what about the new revelation? Well, look at the verse before 3 John 2. Look at the two verses after 3 John 2. And there's a word there that's used four times. I have told you that word already. Can you see it? It's the word truth. Four times. Whom I love in the truth. The truth is in thee. Who walkest in the truth. No greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Truth, 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 truth. Love it. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Oh, awesome. John saying that Gaius has the truth in him, that he is walking in truth. John saying he loves seeing his children walking in truth. In that context, a fellow believer or his disciple or someone he is teaching. Now, you can interpret this as John just speaking to Gaius. But I believe we can also interpret it, like I've said before, we're in the beloved, as John speaking to us, as John being God's messenger. So God speaking to us. And I think that both those interpretations are appropriate. I believe this is God talking to you right now. That he wants you to be in health. He wants you to prosper. It's the truth. And he has no greater joy than seeing you walking in truth. Awesome. No greater joy. And walking in truth is walking in health. Walking in truth is walking in prosperity. God has no greater joy than seeing you walking in truth and walking in prosperity. Awesome. And now, I had something that hit me this morning. I'll try and get it out. I said, myself and Nancy were sitting and talking about this at breakfast. And she said, what was it about John 3 John 4 again that you're getting so excited? And I read the verse and I was going to start telling her about what I was going to preach on. And I just... had it hitting in my heart as a father with three children that I can say this verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I was thinking about that. Yeah, I want my children to walk in health. I want my children to walk in prosperity. What kind of perverted father doesn't want that? And if I have that heart, and if you're a father and you're thinking about that, and you want the best for your children, well, surely that's what God wants for us, as his children. I need to sit and... I'm not getting it across as much as I want, but I really didn't prepare for this part of the sermon. I have to spend some time meditating on that verse as a father, to meditate on what it means for God. That God has no greater joy than to hear that his children are walking in truth. Ah, what a verse. What a verse. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Why does God want that? I'll tell you why. Because that is what Jesus provided for his children at the cross. At the great exchange. He took our sickness and disease that we might live in health. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, 1 Peter 2:24. He took our poverty that we might live in abundance. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 9 and John 10, verses 10. That is the truth and we ought to walk in it. And it will give God joy as we're walking in it. It is what he wants for us as whosoevers. And it is what he has provided for us as whosoevers. It's yours. It's ours. We ought to walk in health and prosperity. But how do we do it? Well, maybe that's another message. But we should know that here at MGF. We do it as our soul prospereth. That tells us in verse 2. Our soul, our mind, will and emotions. As we prosper in there, we will prosper out in here. And out there. We know that's mind renewal, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Maybe spend more time on that later. Evelyn wrote on the comments about 5 minutes ago, it's difficult to understand how people misunderstand these verses. I'm with you there, Evelyn. Some believers don't like this for whatever reasons. They fight against it, kick against it. Come against those who preach it. But you know what? It does not stop the word being the truth. Let me ask you a couple of questions. I've asked you these before if you've been at MGF, so they're a bit of repetition here. You should know the answer by now. In the Gospels, give me chapter and verse where Jesus made anyone sick, where Jesus put illness on anyone, where Jesus refused, point blank, to heal anyone until they did something, till they improved, till they became more humble. In the Gospels, can you give me chapter and verse where Jesus made a person poor, made them lose their home or business, made them not have enough money so that they couldn't eat, couldn't provide for their family? Not there, are they? Jesus is all about health and abundance. When Jesus fed the 5,000, when Jesus fed the 4,000, did he give them just enough to be satisfied? Just enough? Or did he give them enough to gorge themselves, to fill themselves, and to have masses left over? Jesus is a God of abundance, a provider of abundance. But Vic, surely it is selfish to want to be in health and to want to be prosperous. You just want good things for yourself, that's it. Well, no, that's not the case. And if you ask me that question, you don't know me at all. We're given health. We're given prosperity for a reason. Not for our selfish ends, but for the furtherance of the kingdom. Let me ask you another question. I'll use myself as an example. If I was at home in my sickbed, if I had no money, would I have gone on a mission trip to India? Would my relationship with Sundar have been really established? Would I have come home and enthused all you guys to come on board and work with the guys in India? To come on board, us as a team, enthused to build that feeding station? If you were at home on your sickbed with no money, would you be doing the ministry work that you're doing now? Would you be talking to people? Would you be giving into good works? Would you be sowing money into your favourite ministries and charities for the furtherance of the kingdom? Now you might be thinking, well, you know, Vic, you could have been on your sickbed, you could have had no money, but God would have provided a way for this to happen. And you know what he did? He did. By making me healthier and giving me more prosperity. By making other believers whole and making them prosperous. See, we need healthy, prosperous people for the work of the kingdom. Now, please don't get offended here. Listen to my heart when I'm saying this. Wanting health and prosperity is not selfish. Now, some of you are probably thinking, I get the health bit. I get that, yes. But prosperity, no, that's just selfishness. Wanting lots of money, no, that's just selfish. Oh, well, I see it as the other way around. Actually believing, having the doctrine that you think God makes you sick and God wants to keep you poor, well, I see that as being selfish. Because what good works can you give unto in those conditions? Well, I only need enough money for my own needs. I'm not greedy. I just want to be humble. I just need enough for me. No, that is selfish. If you only have enough for you, how can you help others? But, you know, it's not being greedy wanting more if you have the right attitudes and the right reasons for it. Well, Vic, if I'm sick, if I'm poor, I can pray. That's what God wants and that's what God needs. Yes, I'll give you that. But hey, here's a bit of a revelation for you. You can still pray if you're healthy and wealthy. Hallelujah. And you know what? You can do a sure lot more as well. I just don't get it. Why so many Christians seem to want to be sick and poor. Seem to want fellow believers to be sick and poor. I just don't get it, especially as soon as a Christian becomes sick, they go to the doctor. As soon as a Christian has some economic need, they look for a better or a new job. Try to get themselves out of the situation that allegedly God is putting them in. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I will tell you what makes sense. That Jesus came to bring us life and life more abundantly. That Jesus took our sickness and disease and pain on his body so that we might live on health. That Jesus became poor so that we might become rich. That above all things, the Lord wants us to walk in truth. He wants us to walk in health and prosperity. Truth above all things, he wants us to be in health and prosperity. So that we can help further the kingdom, that we can give unto all good works. We can play our part properly helping this world in need. Take a real and meaningful part in Tikkun Olam. That's what makes sense. And you know why it makes sense? Because it is good biblical truth. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what else? It's a good witness. It's a good testimony. What is the witness to this world, the world out there, of being sick and poor? Come to Christ, come to our church, get a bit of sickness and poverty. Now, I know that's not what people say, and I'm probably being a bit blasé and a bit cynical. But that's kind of what we as a church are saying sometimes. What is the worst witness to this world of being sick and poor? I tell you what a good witness is. It's you guys having built a feeding station in India. And that feeding station being a light for Jesus in that village. And that feeding station continuing to feed many people right through this pandemic. That is a good witness. That is a good testimony. That is telling people that Jesus is here and that God is a good God. We could have never have done that if we were sick and poor. Well, we could have prayed for it, Vic. I keep hearing that. Yeah, well, we could pray for it. Yes, we could. And you know what God would have done? Found someone else with more health, with more wealth, and they would have done it. To do what we should have done with our health and our wealth. See, God needs people willing and able to do the work. And for that, he needs healthy people. He needs wealthy people. And there is no getting away from that. Pray as much as you want. Now, I'm not being sarcastic. Prayer is really good. We should all be doing it. I get that. But if you have this attitude of, no, well, you know, it's not for people to be healed, it's not for people to be prosperous, but we will pray for God to get that work done. What you're really praying for is God to get in touch with healthy people and wealthy people to do the work that you should be doing through your health and through your wealth. Wanting to do well, wanting to be well, wanting to be prosperous is about taking the responsibility for what God wants us to do in this earth. Thinking we should be poor, thinking we should be sick is selfish. And it's shirking that responsibility, actually. What we as a group are doing in India is a great witness. It's a great testimony to what God is doing in our lives. We need to be fit. We need to have resources to do that work in India. Yes, we can all pray, and we should all be praying. But here's my phrase for the week. We need boots on the ground with money in their pockets to do the work. That's what God needs. Boots on the ground with money in their pockets. He needs people of health, people of wealth, to further the work of the kingdom. The truth is, he wants us to prosper and be in health. He needs us to prosper and be in health to further the work of the kingdom. And the truth is that he has provided that for us as whosoever's through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Above all things, he wants us to have a life of health and prosperity. And there is a reason for that. It is to further the kingdom, to give unto all good works, to feed the widows, the orphans, to evangelize, to prophesy, to do the work of the kingdom. And we can live like that. We can achieve that with mind renewal through the word of God. That's what we need to do now. Renew our minds. Renovate our minds to believe these truths. In that sense, make our minds better. Remove that unhelpful doctrine, traditions of man, wrong teaching. Remove them. Renovate our mind. Replace them with the truths here. Like truths like we read in John 10:10, 1 Corinthians 8:9, 1 Peter 2:24, 3 John 1-4. Replace what we think we believe with those kind of truths. Renovate our minds. Believe those truths. Think them, speak them out, and live them. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope that blessed you.